He said that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, and that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth.
Welcome to Willie's World. This is Willie's World podcast episode number 7, entitled Guns, 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 for obvious reasons. I like to play a Lincoln portrait in the beginning of my podcast to remind people that while we're talking about possibly headed toward a second Civil War, the first Civil War cost 700,000 lives, so maybe we should really put in an effort to avoid a second one. The first clip I'd like to play is from Larry Arn being interviewed by Hugh Hewitt. Larry Arn is the president of Hillsdale College, a bastion of preservation of the American heritage, and a college established in 1842, takes no money from the federal government, and requires 40 credits for studying of the Constitution in their bachelor degree program. Anyway, here's Larry Arn's thoughts on the Second Amendment.
Born in glory, America, it's Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening. That music signifies that we are indeed in the last radio hour of the week. That is the Hillsdale Dialogue, the hour set aside for talking about the most important issues, the timeless ones, with someone from Hillsdale College, the Lantern in the North. All things Hillsdale are collected at hillsdale.edu, including must-see courses on the Constitution, which are absolutely free. Wonderful course on Churchill. You ought to see it before Gary Oldman walks away with the Oscar for his performance in The Darkest Hour. And all of our conversations with, usually, President Larry Arn of Hillsdale, as it will be today, are collected at hughforhillsdale.com. Dr. Arn, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. CPAC gets underway. The president just tweeted he is off to talk to it soon. And no doubt he will be talking about gun control. So I thought we would diverge. We're at Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution in our Constitution series. And skip forward, if we could, to the Second Amendment. Because that will be the text and subtext of every conversation at CPAC and every conversation on every Sunday show this weekend. Have you been following closely the town halls and the listening sessions in the aftermath of the slaughter at Parkland?
I've been reading reports of them.
Right. So let's begin by setting the table. The Second Amendment reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This was decisively interpreted by the court in an opinion by the late Justice Scalia. On June 6, 2008, we're approaching the 10th anniversary of Heller. What's it mean, Larry Arn?
They have in mind, there's a really great resource people should go and read called The Founders' Constitution. If you just Google that, it's a University of Chicago Press publication, and it's online for free. And it's one of the great scholarly apparatus for understanding the Constitution. And so what it does is each clause and amendment to the Constitution, it presents a bunch of documents from that time about what people thought they meant, each part of the Constitution. And the Second Amendment is a particularly clear part, and it just has to do with two things. our individual and natural right to defend ourselves from harm when we're faced with it. And the other is the prudence or good judgment of having an armed people who are trained, who can either substitute for or stand up to a standing army in case the government becomes oppressive.
Given those two, I'm looking right now at Amendment 2 and Joseph Story's commentaries on the Constitution at the Founders' Constitution, which is really quite remarkable.
Yeah.
The importance of this article, wrote Justice Story in his legendary magisterial commentary, will scarcely be doubted by any persons who have duly reflected upon the subject. The militia is a natural defense of a free country against sudden foreign invasions, domestic insurrections, domestic usurpations of power by rulers. It is against sound policy for a free people to keep up large military establishments and standing armies. I want to skip down to the right of citizens to keep and bear arms has justly been considered as a palladium of the liberties of a republic, since it offers a strong moral check against the usurpation and arbitrary power of rulers, and will generally, even if these are successful in the first instance, enable the people to resist and triumph over them. So there is clearly intended more than simple defense of your home, though it does include the Story Constitution, the object of defense of yourself.
That's right. And you know, the government itself goes from our right to defend ourselves. And if you couple these two things together, that it's for personal defense and it's for citizens defending the republic, the freedom of the republic against oppression, including political oppression, think what an attitude about government which runs everywhere in the Constitution and all through the founding. This is our government, and we are supposed to manage it, and we are supposed to defend it. And so we must have the means to do that. And, you know, this idea that only experts, you know, should do almost everything, including citizen defense, is foreign to the American Revolution.
Now, the aftermath of every shooting is difficult. This is about teenagers is very difficult. You love young people. You run a college. You've run a college for how many years? 25 years?
18.
Okay. And so you love young people, and you've had children of your own, and so there's nothing as heartbreaking. And so I put aside the emotion of the week, and I give everyone a lot of space to say even the most irrational of things, because grief does that to people, right? It can lead to anger, and that anger can be misdirected. But eventually we will come back to consider how to protect schools in the context of the Second Amendment. And our friend Mark Levin likes to say, this is a bill of rights, not of needs. He likes to emphasize that people say you don't need an AR-15, and Mark replies, this is a bill of rights, not of needs. How important is that to remember at the beginning of the conversation?
Yeah, it's so large, you could miss it the way you could lie on your back and almost miss the sky because you can't see anything else. So the purpose of the American government, and it's the first in history with this purpose, is for each one of us to have a right and an opportunity to live a fully human life. And human lives are threatened and fragile and end, but we have a right to defend our lives and our persons and our property. And so the idea that it's not an individual right, or that we wouldn't be responsible, and also that responsibility extends to our whole republic, see? So you have to get yourself into that frame of mind. You have to understand this is supposed to be a government run by the people.
Now, in all fairness, the Heller decision, which firmly declared the Second Amendment to be an individual right, is only 10 years old, and it was a 5-4 decision. And we have seen previous bad decisions decided by 5-4 overturned. So there is no certainty that Heller and its progeny...
The important points I think that Larry Arnn made were that the gun ownership is a natural right that every citizen has to defend themselves and to defend the country in general against the government, should that need arise. And also that it's just a good idea to have an armed citizenry for God knows what can happen. The next clip I'd like you to listen to is from Mark Levin. Mark Levin is a conservative talk radio host, the number 3 talk radio host in the country. And he also launched something called CRTV, which is conservative television network, which, if you're looking for an alternative to the mainstream media, I highly recommend. Anyway, here's a clip from Mark Levin.
I want to talk briefly, and I hope conservatives, liberals, everything in between or whatever will listen to me when I speak to this. And that is the right to bear arms. I've done in the last period of time, I guess, an enormous amount of research on this subject. Now, generally speaking, do you know why there's a Second Amendment? Does anybody know why there's a Second Amendment? Is it for hunters? Is it for target shooters? Is it even to protect yourself? Do you know why there's a Second Amendment? And the right for individuals to bear arms? I'm going to tell you why it's there. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, it was to make sure that the population was armed in order to overthrow a tyrannical government. Now, that's the truth. That shouldn't scare people. That shouldn't scare people at all. Because when you consider today how responsible 99.9% of gun owners are, that 99.999% of gun owners have no intention of using their weapons to overthrow the government, then it puts things in a bit of a better context, don't you think, Mr. Producer? That's the reason why there is a Second Amendment, and that part of the Second Amendment goes all the way back through British history, the citizens rising up against the monarchy, rising up against the Parliament and Oliver Cromwell, and on and on and on. A history that we've lost today, but that the framers were well aware of. That the delegates to the state ratifying conventions, at the constitutional conventions, were aware of. That's why they insisted on a Bill of Rights. When you look at the Bill of Rights exists, including the Second Amendment, to protect the individual from the federal government, not to protect sports and hunters, not to protect poets under the First Amendment, but to protect us, all of us. So the Second Amendment had as its purpose not hunting, not sports shooting, not target shooting, not just individual self-defense, but defense against a tyrannical government. It's true. It's true. And when you consider once again how responsible 99.9% of the people are who own tens of millions of weapons, then maybe this is a perspective that will help us going forward when these politicians keep insisting that they're going to regulate this, regulate that, regulate bullets. When these left-wing journalists and now politicians want to start listing the names of gun owners after forcing people who own weapons legally to register, to provide their names, now they want to turn around and use that against people. Now you see how far we have fallen. It's the gun owners in this America who are among the most responsible people in this country. Absolutely so. If the gun owners in this country, your fellow citizens, your family members, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, if they really wanted to unleash hell, they could unleash hell, and no police department could stop them. But they don't, and they don't want to. They love this country. The National Rifle Association is a magnificent organization. If it didn't exist, the Second Amendment would be gone already. Just like there are organizations protecting the First Amendment or aspects of it. But I wanted to bring this to your attention and really focus in on this, that the purpose of the Second Amendment, the purpose of the Second Amendment is to keep a free people free from a tyrannical central government.
The most important points I got out of Mark Levin's commentary is that the whole point of the Second Amendment was to protect the American citizens against their own government should it turn out to be a type tyrannical one. And I would suggest that we're headed in that direction. Another important point I think he makes is that most gun owners are responsible people. Just look around you. You're going to be surrounded by responsible gun owners that, in fact, do nothing except protect themselves and their government. Imagine if they wanted to do something. 300 million guns in this country. Of course, they could overwhelm our own law enforcement. But they don't, because they're law-abiding citizens. The final clip I'd like to play is from the Media Research Center, which is a politically conservative content analysis organization founded in 1987. Its mission is to prove through sound scientific research that liberal bias in the media does exist and undermines traditional American values. Anyway, I'm going to play a clip of theirs, which is a sampling of the mainstream media. It's a sampling, actually, of our politicians commenting about gun control, and doesn't give you much faith in the politicians solving this problem anytime soon.
Lawmakers who don't like the Second Amendment can say some really uninformed things about guns. Now, over the years, there has been a ton of comments, but for today's purposes, we're going to focus on the top five dumb comments made by lawmakers that are currently sitting in office. Number five, Representative Carolyn Maloney, who wants to ban something that really doesn't exist under the name that she gives it.
We need to pass an assault weapons ban. We need to ban the massacre of machine gun magazines.
Yeah, those massacre machine gun magazines for all those machine guns that have been effectively banned in the United States since 1986. Next, number four, Representative Diana DeGette. She also wants to ban magazines, but she offers this unique perspective.
And I have good reason to believe that we can pass a number of key provisions of legislation through the House, including the magazine ban, the background checks, banning straw purchases, in addition to some other issues around mental health and other issues. So I do think that we can pass those. And just very briefly, to your last question, what's the efficacy of banning these magazine clips? I will tell you, these are ammunition. They're bullets. So the people who have those now, they're going to shoot them. And so if you ban them in the future, the number of these high capacity magazines is going to decrease dramatically over time, because the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
Unless you reload the magazine. Number three, Representative Louise Slaughter on how constitutional protections only apply to you if you own guns.
We've got no Second Amendment, the rest of us. What are we supposed to do when we go to the theater or go to the store or send our grandchildren, in my case, off to school? Mm. What do they do for protection? They've got nobody to protect them. The only protection, apparently, in the Constitution is for people who want all the guns they can have.
And that is so stupid. That actually hurts. Anyways, let's go to number two. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe on guns.
Well, let me say this. I think we need to do more to protect all of our citizens. I have long advocated, this is not what today is about, but there are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence. I mean, I've long talked about this.
Hey, don't talk about it for too long, Terry, or everybody will be dead at 93 million people a day. And number one.
We have federal regulations and state laws that prohibit hunting ducks with more than three rounds. And yet it's legal to hunt humans with 15-round, 30-round, even 150-round magazines.
Wow. Well, despite the encouragement from Senator Feinstein, please don't go searching for the human hunting license. Even if you find it online, it's not going to be real. Just like many lawmakers' conceptions on guns and their accessories that they want to ban and regulate. I'm Eric Shiner for MRC-TV.
Well, I think that's pretty frightening listening to the politicians talk about guns. Most of them don't have them and don't know anything about them. But you can count on the mainstream media to report that stuff because conservative radio and TV wouldn't embarrass themselves. So there you have it from the politicians. I have a gun. I'm armed. I'm prepared to defend myself. So come get me. Anyway, I'd like to end this podcast with some inspirational music from the one and only Ray Charles. Never fear, everybody. We the people will defend ourselves and our country.
Singing something like this. Listen here.
Oh, beauty valley, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties. Wait a minute, I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. He crowned thy good. Yes, he did.